The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Well, it's another week where government spending has been in the headlines. It was revealed that the National Gallery of Ireland spent €125,000-ish on an X-ray machine, which was never used. As well as that, Zelensky is in Washington trying to work out a mineral deal with Donald Trump and to discuss a future peace over the war in Ukraine. And, of course, there's the never-ending dispute over dull speaking rights. Joining us to discuss all of that in our Friday forum is Duncan Smith, Labour TD, Catherine Arda, Fianna Fáil TD, and Tabitha Monaghan, political reporter with the Irish Independent. Tabitha, let's start with this thing of government expenditure and the monitoring of it and the oversight of it, because we had the bike shed, we had the €1 million security hut, we had the Office for Posh Walls, now we have the National Gallery. It has been sort of drip, drip, dripping. Is it forming a critical mass into something that's going to become an issue for the government?
I think it was, and it definitely is following on from what we saw last year. And of course, we have the National Children's Hospital to add into that as well, the OPW wall. So there is a number of things that continually keep coming up. This narrative, the government just can't get away from this narrative. And of course, then we had this X-ray machine from the National Gallery. It very much seems like the new Minister for Arts, Patrick O'Donovan, is going in and he is looking at all of these annual reports to see what exactly is going in. Is there any overspend? Because of course we had this IT system from the Arts Council, which was, I think, an awful
6 million, was it?
6.6 million, and I think 5 point something had to be written off because it was just unusable. So there was a certain amount that they say they're going to be able to claw back. I think maybe 1.3. There is some bits that are still usable in that. So obviously this latest one, this X-ray machine, €125,000, maybe not when we're taking all of the list of things that we've spoken about there, not the biggest amount of money ever purchased in 2017, hasn't been used. We're told that it will come into use now this year. This is a commitment that I think we're going to get now, that they will use it. The problem is that where they were going to house it, that it needed to be this lead-lined room. And the issue was that the room that had been selected, they were concerned that it wasn't going to be able to support the weight. So that was where the issue came in. There's a bulb that is used for this X-ray machine. It's still in London. So that, yes, for sure, there's this whole...
Did you say since 2017?
Yes, it was
8 years they're considering the weight of this thing.
Yeah, exactly. And there was, I think the OPW was getting involved to try and help find a location for this. They're looking at, I think, a mobile unit now where it should go, because just they can't find a suitable location for it.
Now, you mentioned Patrick O'Donovan trying to wrap arms around some of the expenditure within his area. I think one of the papers the weekend or the previous weekend described it as an exercise in bringing out your debt. Get it all out now quickly till we see what the problems are. Yeah. How much do you believe that it will reveal significant problems? How much of this is bellwether for bigger issues to come?
I think there's more to come. Because obviously this is a cultural thing in terms of how the public spending code isn't being applied. Like, no one's disputing that the National Art Gallery needed a piece of kit like this. No one's disputing the Arts Council needed to improve an IT system for grants. But it's how this money's being spent, how it's allowed to either go over budget, or in the case of the Arts Scanner, that there wasn't a degree of, you know, competency in decision making as to specifications of that. So we do need a cultural shift. I'd like to see the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform take a bit of a lead on this, and maybe not for the reasons that government might think, but I was whip when Jack Chambers was chief whip. You know, he's serious operator, and I think if we need a cultural shift, when the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform was created in 2011-2016, it set a culture. We had no money at the time, and nothing was being wasted. That has shifted, you know, and state agencies now feel...
Why did it not have an electoral impact? Because some of the news is post-election, but the world's most expensive hospital we all knew about before the election.
Yeah, I think at that stage, once it got to the election, the bike shed played a bigger role in the election than the children's hospital, I think, at that stage. The bike shed came up over and over again.
On the doors, did it?
On the doors, absolutely. I think the children's hospital at that stage, people were at the money had become so fantastical, people were like, just get it built. It's become like it's just astronomical. But the bike shed struck a chord with people for a number of reasons, because people have bought bike locks, they've bought bike racks, they've been involved in community groups or schools, and they know it costs a couple of grand. And for this to come more or less the exact average price of a house in the country or throughout the country really struck a chord of people and angered them. The fact it's four TDs as well.
Well, Catherine, what sort of concern is there among government that this is going to now be the issue for the next couple of months and might become a political problem for you? The lack of oversight and where taxpayers' money is going.
Well, the lack of oversight is not just an issue for government, it's an issue for the people. Like, it came up hugely at the doors where people are really concerned about overspending with the public finances. And what we really need to see as well, and I know the Dáil Reform Committee, it's being held up a little bit, is the formation of our committees. Because spending items like this, overspending like this, really should be before the Public Accounts Committee. Because people like to hear how it happened, why it happened, when it happened, who was involved in it. And I think we need to, like, we can't put any delays on the formation of our committees. And I really think the Public Accounts Committee has always played a major role in
now you're saying those committees are being held up. Is this because of the speaking rights
yes.
debate?
Yeah.
Okay, well, tell you what, I want to get to the speaking rights debate because it is obviously going to run and run. Just before that, a reminder of our competition. We've teamed up with Aviva Insurance, our show sponsor, to give you the chance to win a fantastic prize every day this week. For deals and benefits, including a 24-hour emergency helpline, it takes Aviva. You can get more information at aviva.ie. Our prize is a pair of premium tickets to the Six Nations Ireland versus France on Saturday the 8th of March, plus a €300 gift card. If you want to win that, have a listen to this philosophical quote from Brian O'Driscoll.
I don't know. You know, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad.
Now, in O'Driscoll's defence, he did it on a bet. We want to know the name of the player who gave him the bet, because that was a bet from his inside centre teammate. So who was O'Driscoll's inside centre teammate at Ireland and Leinster? You can text the word rugby, your answer and your name to us now on 53106. That's 53106, and it'll cost you 30 cent. Now, the speaking rights. Speaking rights was, I would have thought, a roaring success for the opposition on the first day of the Dáil being back. How do you think it's playing now, Catherine? Are people fed up with it?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that, like, the Dáil always has to ensure it's a fair house for people, elected people like myself and Duncan, to represent the views of our constituents. There are 60 TDs in the Dáil, including myself, and bearing in mind I've come from the Senate, where you have ample opportunity to speak in the Senate on myriad of views, really important house, does crucial work. But when it comes to entering the Dáil, I have limited time to speak. I don't get even a portion of the opportunities my Dáil colleague Duncan gets. And I think my constituents are put on the back foot with their views. The local issues from Dublin South Central, from Crumlin, Walkinstown, don't get the same airing that perhaps Duncan's constituents' issues get. And what the Dáil Reform Committee
is doing... Surely the counterpoint to that, though, is that you have the capacity in your parliamentary party to directly raise those issues with party members who are at cabinet.
Tell that to my constituents. My constituents, as Duncan's constituents, want to see us stand up in the Dáil, putting questions to ministers, getting responses, not always in a confrontational manner, but in a very constructive manner. And what the new reforms are going to do, it's going to give 60 TDs, one of whom I am one of those TDs, a little more time, not a huge amount of time. It's pretty much 8 minutes every Wednesday and another 8 minutes on a Thursday. And over the course of the year, it would probably only give me an extra 2 minutes over the course of the year. And that's to represent my constituents. And I'm elected in the same way as Duncan is elected and as other members of rural independence and other opposition parties are elected. So,
but surely the job of talking in the Dáil is to hold government to account, not to have an internal discussion among government.
Not necessarily. It's to hold government account, but I'm not a member of government. I'm a backbencher. I'm a Fianna Fáil backbencher with limited speaking rights. And what the new reforms will do is they will give, they're called non-standing order 170 members, myself and Fine Gael backbenchers and some of the independent backbenchers, just a few extra minutes to raise our concerns in Dáil Éireann. And I think, I can't see what the massive issue is, to be honest
with you. Duncan, that's solved?
The massive issue here is in relation to the designation of the Lowry Group. The government have been willfully talking
this
across
this is our new name for them, isn't
on
it?
This. Yeah, whatever we wish to call them. But the Lowry Group of Independents that were involved in government negotiations, are signed up to a programme for government, are referenced in the programme for government as well, and have got ministerial roles out of that. Fair enough, that's fine, but they are members of government. So that was our row. What has happened in the last number of weeks through many, many meetings that an awful lot of people, the public out there, are browned off and hearing about is that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have now used this to get increased speaking rights for their own backbench members. Again, this has been long-standing as well. I actually was a staff member for a government backbencher, so I know that there are a lot of opportunities to speak, but there are some restrictions. You can't have leaders' questions because you're in government. You can't have priority questions because they're the preserve of spokespeople or private members' business because that's the preserve of opposition. These are long-standing. And I was in all those early meetings, including that infamous day we tried to elect a Taoiseach. And I know that Michael Lowry said unambiguously in those meetings that his group wanted leaders' questions, they wanted PMBs, they wanted priority questions. And with this that was pushed through by a vote on Wednesday, they have gotten that. All right, they've gotten what they wanted.
Fianna Fáil, so whether right or wrong, is it now done?
It has to go to the Dáil to be ratified by the Dáil in the form of a motion in a couple of weeks. But it, the government used their majority on the Dáil Reform Commission to put it through, and they'll do that again in government. That's not right. Now, we could have got to the stage, and the way the meeting went on Wednesday, we were reaching some accommodations in terms of private members' business time for more backbench TDs to have time on debates. But it's not the quantum of time, it's what they're speaking on. And
Okay, I want to bring Tabitha in on this for a bit of political analysis, because the sense that I got was that day one this was a very well-organised and very opposition-beneficial tactic. Is the opposition right in backing off slightly at this point or no, politically? Do people care?
Well, I think that's the question, isn't it? And I think when we saw the opposition leaders and the party whips as well come out onto the plinth, and that was something that I asked Mary Lou MacDonald, said, do the public care about this? Like, from my point of view, I think it's a bit inside baseball here, you know. And every time I sit down to write something about this, speaker's questions, like, I have to try and explain this again to readers in a way that doesn't sound very technical. And I think it's difficult. It's not like the bike shed situation or even the National Children's Hospital or even the X-ray, where it's something that people can understand and say, yeah, okay, I take an issue with this. It's something about speaking time, and sometimes that doesn't translate to people's everyday lives, right? So yes, for one thing. What I think is really interesting, though, is actually this left alliance that we're seeing form now at the moment, and how strong the opposition have been together, and to a certain extent how much Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have played a part in that by opposing what the opposition have been putting forward in their reform recommendations for the Dáil. So we're seeing.
Now, can you just expand slightly on what you mean by the left alliance? What's happening?
Yeah, so again, like I was saying, when they all come out on the plinth, and that's where I see it, you know, they are all coming out. You have Mary Lou MacDonald, you have Richard Boyd Barrett, you have Ivana Bacic, you have Keane O'Callaghan from the Sock Dems. You have all of them there standing together, and they're calling each other colleagues, and they're making sure each one of them have their own time to speak, because they are so united on this issue that they're in rooms, they're talking, they're meeting. And it's not something I think that we saw so much maybe before the election, that maybe voters were wondering, where is this left alliance? Where is this alternative to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael? We might actually, I think we're starting to see that now. We're seeing all of these opposition parties in a room together, somewhat getting along and being able to agree on what way to proceed. So I actually think it's quite interesting that we're at the very beginning of this Dáil term. Where does this go?
Well, and raise the questions whether or not it is organic or whether it is strategic. Is this by coincidence, Duncan, that the opposition has happened to find an issue around which you all agree? Or is this a deliberate shift where the left is allying?
It's organic. It's evolved out of the position that the Lowry group took in government formation talks. And I think the fact we've remained united on this, I think, is a signal to the public that, well, if they have remained aligned on this for this amount of weeks, then there must be something to this root cause issue. And I think for those members of the public who understand or are interested in this, I think they know which side is right and which side is wrong. I think they ultimately want to now move on and see us talk about things, the shape of the world and what's going on in Trump and everything, health and all the rest, special education provision. But they know who's right and wrong on this. But look, the fact we've been united on this issue, it is a procedural issue. Let's not get away with it. It's not a policy issue. It's a procedural issue. But it's been organic. But we have been tight on it. And we haven't had to do too much coordination because we agree on the same thing on this.
You talk about the issues pertaining around the world and Trump and Zelensky. Let's move to them then. Catherine Arda, Fianna Fáil TD. The prospect of 25% tariffs being brought in by the US administration, Jack Chambers has said that that could cause huge problems for Ireland and that we have some of the greatest level of exposure. How well prepared do you think we in Ireland are and we in Europe are?
Yeah, I suppose we know that we have a 50 billion trade surplus. So we're on the radar of, you know, of the US. I know Minister Simon Harris has set up an Irish sort of US trade body to help protect us and to help us, you know, counter any possible trade tariffs that are coming down the tracks. We don't know exactly what's coming down the tracks. I think it's really important now. We heard a lot of analysis about Keir Starmer's meeting with President Donald Trump yesterday. Micheál is probably going to be the next, and Taoiseach is going to be the next EU leader to meet Donald Trump. I think he's the best man for the job. He's going to be, you know, he's an experienced diplomat, a professional. He'll put Ireland's case forward. He'll put the EU's case forward, and he'll be able to get some like good information and be able to bring a lot of support.
Well, can I ask on that, when you look at what you'd hope that he'd do? I mean, I think Emmanuel Macron may have set the bar for the way to handle those meetings. He's going to obviously have a couple of issues. Ireland's position in relation to Israel and what's happening in Gaza, and Ireland's position in relation to FDI. How does he balance that? How far does he push back in public interactions with the president?
Well, I think the really most important thing for us is ensuring that we have the creation of jobs in Ireland and we don't lose any jobs in Ireland. From that, it means we can't have any impact into our huge exports. So we're exporting nearly 72 billion euros worth of goods, most of them pharma goods, into the US. So we need to protect that. That protecting our exports is protecting our jobs, and that's protecting people's livelihoods.
But when Trump says publicly, if he does, you and Ireland have got a lot of US companies there that are giving you tax that should be back in America. Yeah. Does Micheál keep his mouth shut, or does he say something?
Well, no, absolutely not. And some of the American commentators would say that they're here because of our low tax rate, and yes, possible, but they're also here because of our population, our educated workforce. It's a nice place to work, it's a nice place to live, and we have great universities who are educating the pharmacists of the future, and people want to be here. Our climate is good for farmer. You know, we have a mild climate. So it's not just our tax level that is attracting all these American companies. And I'm sure Micheál and Taoiseach will be putting the...
Does our cool temperate climate attract Pfizer?
It does, in terms of the, you know, having a large factory in the country, and ensuring that the goods and the products that go into producing all these pharma goods are kept at a, you know, correct, like the data centres that, you know, they like to be here. It works for the actual physical components that go into pharma products.
Tabitha Monaghan, God be with the days when a US, or rather an Irish Taoiseach, could look forward to handing over a bowl of shamrock, a couple of pictures, all very nice, and away you go home. How much pressure do you think he's under with this?
Huge amount of pressure, and I think it's actually growing week on week now. And a few weeks ago, we were at a doorstop with the Taoiseach when he was on his way into cabinet, and I think it was a few days after he had made comments about the expulsion of Palestinians from Gaza. Sorry, Trump had made comments about the expulsion of Palestinians from Gaza. And it was are you going to bring this up with the president? And it was very much, well, we have to see what happens the week. That was about a month out when he said that, when the Taoiseach was going over. So I think it really depends what we're facing that week, because we're seeing Trump come out with different things every week. You know, Zelensky a few days ago was a dictator in the eyes of Donald Trump. And yesterday he was saying, oh, did I say that? Move on, next question. So I think there's a lot of pressure, and there's a lot of moving parts to this. And absolutely, Catherine Arda is right. There's an awful lot of pressure in terms of our economy, in terms of that relationship with Ireland and the EU and Ireland and the US, in terms of our economic ties, for sure. But there's also the likes of the Occupied Territories Bill. We know how Irish people feel about the Occupied Territories Bill, about the plight of the Palestinians in Gaza and in Israel more generally. So I think there is an awful lot of pressure. I don't know how he finds a middle ground there. What can he say that he won't damage the relationship but also kind of be true to the Irish people at the same time?
Well, briefly, we talked to Duncan Smith from Labour about the coalescing of the opposition. To what extent in the national interest do you put on the green jersey and take the political pressure off the Taoiseach for this one?
Yeah, I don't think it's about putting on the green jersey as such. And that kind of ties in with the whole the bowl of shamrock narrative, that this is all a pretty superficial endeavour. This is a serious meeting. And in fairness, our Taoiseach does have an awful lot of experience, and he's going to have to bring this to bear. It's not going to be an easy task. There's high stakes. I think both Macron and Keir Starmer have kind of shown a bit of a template in terms of, you know, both of them in both their meetings, both publicly and indeed what we're hearing privately, put across their countries and indeed the EU's interest in the case of Macron. I would hope and I believe that Micheál Martin will do the same. He'll be under intense scrutiny. I'm sure there'll be criticism. It'll come down to body language and stuff like that. But I there is a lot at stake. I think the Taoiseach knows that. I think what the Taoiseach has done in terms of getting that group together, and we're sending our biggest delegation over, right down to local councillors and engaging at that level, this is important. There are jobs at stake. There's like cultural relationships at stake. Let's not, like, Donald Trump is remaking the international order now. Like, the EU is under threat. the states on the eastern side of Europe are feel definitely under threat. So the stakes are very, very high. It's far beyond the bowl of Shamrock. It's even beyond our economy. But I think the Taoiseach will have all those considerations, and hopefully he has a strong... If he brings a tenth of the abrasiveness he's bringing to leaders' questions to his chat, I think we'll be okay.
Duncan, thank you very much. Likewise, thank you to Catherine and Tabitha. That is Duncan Smith from Labour, Catherine Arda from Fianna Fáil, and Tabitha Monaghan, political reporter with the Irish Independent. And that's pretty much it for us this morning. A reminder, if you missed anything, all of our items are uploaded as podcasts. You can listen to them on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud. You just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.